Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, and we thank you that we've got the amazing privilege of coming together, Lord, coming to your house, Lord, coming together as a family to worship you, God. Lord, we're here today because of your amazing grace in our lives, Lord. You saved our lives from destruction, Lord, and you crown us with loving kindness and with tender mercies, Lord. You are in a process of beautifying us, Lord, of preparing us for your return. We thank you for your amazing grace, Lord, in our lives, for your faithfulness, Lord. We bless you this morning, God. We come to bring honor and glory and praise, declare dominion to you, Lord, forever and ever, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word that says now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in that process, Lord, to present us faultless, Lord. Lord, in this morning we are here, Lord, and we agree with that song that says, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, that is called by your name, Lord, should prepare the way, Lord. So we just come to you this morning, Lord, with our hearts. We open up our spirits, Lord, to your word, Lord, of direction, Lord, and of exhortation, Lord, of blessing, God, to equip us, Lord, to enable us, God, to prepare the way, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's really so good to be here with you guys. You've grown since I've been here. Things look a little bit different. Yeah, Kat and Yanni's got lots of ideas. Can I move this a little bit forward? I don't like these things very much. So, God save us from your followers. You should watch that DVD. It's excellent. It's about just the whole institutional church thing. What God's people has done with His word and His way. And how it's actually driving people from God. It's a bit of a wake-up call. And interesting. So, yeah. I would recommend watching that. That is good. Last week, we did a wedding in Cirrus. And just like we prayed now, I believe the Lord is obviously at all times preparing us. But at this time, just sharing a word with me and I believe with the church on just the process of preparing us as His bride. And obviously, like we all know, the scripture says that unless he builds a house, they who labor in vain. But I do believe that obviously we are in partnership with God. Like the song said that we have to prepare the way. So this morning I just want to speak or just touch a little bit on prayer and on the gifts and just motivate us to commit to that process that God wants to do in our lives, and also commit to what He wants to do in this community, in your families, in your businesses, and then in this church. And I believe Ezekiel 16 is just such an amazing example. I don't know, those of you who haven't read Ezekiel 16 yet or can't remember, since you've last read it, it's about God coming or meeting up with a baby that's been cast out and then speaking life into it. And then it says a little bit later on, and when I passed by you again, your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you, covered your nakedness, swore an oath to you, and you became mine. And then Ezekiel 16 continues to just to show an example of how God beautifies, how He matures, until that lady, we as a church, are beautiful, and its fame will go out into the world. And I think together with that, Isaiah 60, where it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. God wants to do something which is amazing. And we can set our faith and our hope up there. The church of God need to be, we'll read it just now in Isaiah, but we need to be glorious. And the challenge is arise. Arise and shine. I'm not going to do anything more. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Okay, so just that so my challenge to you this morning is to commit to that growth. In First John, we read about the different stages of developing, about children, young men, fathers. And I don't know where you're at, but change and growing up is a process and it takes time. And when you're in the process, when you're a child, it seems like ages. When am I going to be big? Can't wait to grow up. When you're there and you look back, you think, but how did I get here so soon? So depending on where you're at, many times we need to at all times, we need to commit to that season, to that stage, to that thing that the Lord is doing in our lives, and not wish it away or, Lord, I want to be there, but to redeem the time, to receive from God that which we need to receive in that time. So, can I see who's single here still? Standing in faith to be married? There's a few of you. At this stage, you need to become the perfect partner, and not look for the perfect partner. Okay, so spend your time in that. Let the Lord develop you and bless you and make you grow. So time can either be a big blessing if you've redeemed the time, if you've been frugal, if you did the right stuff in your season, but it can also not that nice if you look back and you see, but I've actually missed. Why didn't I redeem that time, buy out that time? So, just a commitment to that. I want to read this morning for us from Isaiah 62. And when we read that, when you follow the scripture, I want you to read yourself into that piece of scripture. You can read your community into that, this church into that. This was a prophecy by Isaiah in the time when the people of God was captive in Babylon. And he prophesied about who and what they will become. And he challenged them exactly on this, to believe God for the best, to trust God and to stand on His promises. And this did happen. Not in his lifetime, but it happened. My challenge this morning to each of us is just to become and to take up the gift, the responsibility, the blessing that God has made you, and to see the impact that will have. Let's just read from verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called a new name, by which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of our God. Beautiful place, place of promise. You will become this. The Lord is, like we also prayed in Jude, it said, the Lord is faithful to bring each of us, to bring our marriages, our relationships, our families to this place. His house to this place. Okay? Do we believe it this morning? Okay. Okay. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness. Okay. And kings your glory. We'll get to the definition of that or the detail of that a little bit later. So how do we get to this place? You as an individual, us as a church, how do we get to that place where the people just see the light and they come, they ask you, but how did this happen? How did you get here? Obviously, there's 110 things, ways we can get there. I want to focus this morning on just looking at the gifts and the growth in the Holy Spirit and prayer. In that light, in this. Ephesians 4, verses 12. Speaking about the gifts, and this is specifically pertaining to the fivefold ministry. But I believe we can, if we read this into context about all the gifts that God gave, the gifts of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Why did He give it? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so the gifts are there to take us from where we are to the fullness, to a place of perfection, where we reflect Christ. Okay? Like I said, whether it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that God the Father gives, gifts that His Son gives, these are there to equip us as a community, as individuals, to bring us to that place. This is what Scripture says. Okay, so many of you know your gifts. Some are exploring, busy finding your gifts. I want to ask you, go and pursue it. Paul says in Scripture, desire the gifts. Desire to prophesy. Okay? We must desire the gifts of God. And no matter what your gift is, whether it's to the gift of hospitality, to receive people into your own, into your home, to be friendly, to bless people, whether it is to teach, to give, whatever your gift is, that is significant. That is what God has blessed you with. And like Isaiah, we need to come to a place where you say, listen, I won't keep on inviting people. I won't rest. I won't hold my peace until I see His kingdom come in it. His name be glorified in it. In people's lives, in this community. So take your gift and says, like Isaiah, he was a prophet. He says, I won't hold my peace. I won't rest. I won't keep quiet until I've seen the glory of the Lord. On my life, on my ministry, on this town, on my family. If I'm called to pray, I will pray until I see it. And remember, he didn't see it. But he played a huge part in that becoming reality. He prophesied about the freedom and about the beauty of God's house. And what happened is, one of his prophecies in Isaiah 45 obviously was written down. All the prophecies was written down on a scroll, and the scroll was rolled up and put away. And he prophesied about a certain king. And he said, a king will be born and his name will be Cyrus. And he will do X, Y, and Z. And then he will bless my people and send them back home. So about 150 years later, Ezra was the scribe in the king's palace. And Cyrus was king. So Ezra took the scroll. After his prayer, he prayed and fasted and interceded and went to the king. And said, O king, won't you read this? And he read about himself, the prophecy 150 years back. And what would happen in his life and how he would bless God's people to go. And he made a decree that every slave in his country would be set free. If you owed a slave, you had to set him free. And you had to provide that slave and his family with all the gold and the silver and everything they needed to go and restore their temple. Because of the word of Isaiah. But by that time, Isaiah was gone. But his faithfulness in what was his little part to play ensured the reality of this. So no matter what your gift is, it can seem insignificant to you. It's not. Be faithful. Okay? So what the Lord wants from us is just to, exactly the same as Isaiah. I will commit myself to see the breakthrough. I will do it. Bit by bit. It's like eating an elephant. Bit by bit. Take it. If you need to pray, pray. But why? And it's qualified in the scripture. Why? For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. When scripture relates to Zion and Jerusalem, it obviously speaks about the state, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, to specific Jerusalem. But it also speaks to us, the church of God, and then to the glorious church to come. So it's not heresy to read yourself into the scripture. This community, this church into the scripture. God, for my for Franz Hook's sake, I will not hold my peace. For my family's sake and its redemption, I will not keep silent. I will continue until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and the salvation as a lamp that burns. Okay? So if God speaks the word and he says, arise and shine, it is because he's already given the promises and he's enabled us to see it come to pass. So he doesn't challenge and commands us and say, arise and shine, without empowering us to do that. He has given us the promises, the examples, and he has chosen you to play a part in what he wants to establish on the earth. Okay. For how long? Until salvation breaks through. So if you parents here and you're praying for your children, until you see their righteousness as bright as a lamp that burns. Okay? Until God's promises realize. Well, like I said, sometimes we're like Isaiah or Moses. We're like our grandparents. They didn't see what we see. They didn't see the realization of the promises of God, but they were faithful to keep them. Abraham, Hebrews says, his faith was accounted to him for righteousness. He saw us. He saw the beautiful church of God. And he was willing to lay down his life for that sake. And we are here. Bible calls us, we're Abraham's seed. We sit here today because of his faithfulness. Many examples, Noah, man, David, lots of us, lots of amazing examples that God gives us. So, God's promises says here that our lives, this community, your family, will come to a place, in verse 3, that the world out there, the Gentiles and even kings, will have to acknowledge God's hand. And that's where I believe most of us want to, of all of us, want to get to. Where the queen of Sheba, where she came to the palace, to the temple that David and Solomon built, David's son Solomon built, she couldn't believe her eyes. Although the gold came from around it where she lived and stayed, they couldn't believe the glory, the excellence, the wisdom that God blessed his people with. And that's God's promise for us. The world, the kings will be confounded. They will compare their kingdoms to those of God, and they won't understand. They won't be able to put two and two together. because of God's faithfulness. Okay. If we continue to read from verse 6 and 7, I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. In another translation, it reads that those of you who remind God of His promises and give Him no rest till He establishes and till He makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. So God has called people, called watchmen, you, to keep on reminding Him about His promises, and do not grow tired and continue to press in until we see your family, this church, this community become a praise in the earth. I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You make mention of the Lord. Do not keep silent and give Him no rest until He establishes, until He makes Him makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Amazing promise, isn't it? Okay, now, I just want to quickly look at watchmen. And these are people that pray. People that remind God about His promises. So that's why, if you don't know what to pray, take the word, open it, pray the word. Pray it back to God. Say, Lord, this is your promise. My son or my daughter doesn't, she's not in this place. But you say, God, I can contend for her. You want me. I'm a father or a mother. I've got the responsibility to see that your word is established in their life. Okay, so we need to stand. And so watchmen, if we can just focus on the prayer side of things. We are watchmen. Okay, I went to look at a definition. It says, watchmen, they are men set for a guard, either one person or more. Okay, so the pastor is not the watchman, or the leaders, or the cell facilitators. All of us are watchmen. Okay, all of us. Either one person or more, set to spy the approach of an enemy or other danger, and to give an alarm or notice of such danger. Okay, now if we go back into biblical times, the town or the city was surrounded by a huge wall. And everybody lived inside for safety's sake. At night the gates would close and everybody would be inside. And they'll have watchmen on the wall around the city. And they would be on shifts, working in about 3-hour shifts, and they would spy the land. They would look out and see if any danger would come, anybody would approach the city, they would go out and say, why do you come? What is your intent? Is it peace? Is it hostility? And they would know what is happening around the city. They'll be watchful, vigilant, seeing what the enemy does. They'll know what it is, okay? And it was obviously a sacrifice to be a watchman. While you had people to care for, you couldn't go off duty. You had to stand watch. You had to stand your watch, okay? So we are watchmen. Why? Because we're in a war. The reality is, we are contending for God's promises, for the truth, for people's lives, for situations. And because of that, we need to be vigilant. We need to be out there. We need to have our eyes sharp, spying the land. We need to see what's going on. We need to have discernment. We're going to pray for that, to see and expose the intent of the enemy. Okay, we need to be faithful. Then we need to stand watch day and night. Like I said, they used to stand watch in hours of 3-hour shifts. I don't know who's been in the army, but We all get a shift. So the 2 to 5 in the morning isn't a nice shift. But as long as there are people to take or to watch over, you're on duty. We are not to be silent. Okay, use every opportunity to warn people. In that way, you're a watchman in your family or in this community. We are to warn the people, not necessarily direct, but we need to pray protection. We need to pray direction. We need to cover. Okay? Sinners, people that need to come to salvation, we need to speak to, we need to warn, we need to prophesy, we need to declare, we need to be watchmen. And what does the scripture say? Who's responsible? All of us. Okay. I don't know if you saw the movie, it's a bit of a bloody movie, Kingdom of Heaven. It's about Jerusalem and the Crusades, and actually the war, ongoing wars for the protection and also the occupying of Jerusalem, the city. And what happened was the King of England went to take the city of Jerusalem from the Muslims. Then they succeeded in doing it. And then there was a blacksmith, just the guy that they got to help them with the swords and weapons. And he had the call on his life to actually protect the city of Jerusalem. I don't want to go into the whole story, but it ended up that the whole army, all the knights, all the king's soldiers got killed. And this guy was left in the city. And he knew that he had to protect the city from the hundreds and thousands of the Muslim army around Jerusalem. So the only option he had was to go to the people in the city, the old people, the ladies, and then all the young men who didn't qualify as knights, who wasn't big enough, strong enough, bold enough, and he rallied them together, called them together in the center, in the square, in the town, and he called out and said to everyone, bow down. And they went down on their knees. And he took the sword and he knighted it and he gave the first guy a slap. And he says, now you all knights. And then they stood up and they were excited to protect the city. And they ended up protecting the city. He had to negotiate the deal and he got all of them out of the city alive and back on the boats. They would have lost. But just because of their vigilance, because the fact that he saw that God didn't need the knights only, but everyone has got the calling in their lives as watchmen, as knights. So this morning is just a confirmation. You are called as watchmen, every one of you. God qualifies us. He equips us. If we stand on His word, that's it. Okay? So there's lots of reasons that we disqualify ourselves, that we don't take up our responsibility or the blessing that God has got for us. But this morning, we want to defy that and stand against it. So we need to... We need all hands on deck. Just back to the example of the young men, the children, and the fathers. When we pray, just practically, me and my wife, Sunil, we can pray about certain things. When we pray with our leaders or with friends, we pray for different things. And when we pray with our children, we pray for different things. So for different circumstances, different situations, we grow. Like our children, we are teaching them to pray, how to pray. So for instance, last week I took the two boys, and we live in Paradise Kloof, just outside Stellenbosch, and I took them and we drove. We said, look, are we going to intercede and pray for this neighborhood tonight? And they were so excited. We got into the car and we drove around and prayed in tongues, and they stretched out their hands and blessed the houses and the families, and we went to pray for the shops, and they saw visions, and we had to pray for that. It's amazing to see who God uses. Okay, so we if you think you are still a child in the spirit or only a young man, you're a knight. You're a watchman. If you've been called in your family, God will equip you and he will effect your word. Okay? Out of the mouths of infants, he will proclaim praise. Okay, so no matter where you're at in your life, don't disqualify yourself. Don't let the opinion of man or whatever hold you back. God wants to use us. But to the fathers, or to the leaders, the spiritual fathers, the responsibility is with us. Okay? We, although the Lord uses everyone, we must take up our responsibility as fathers. Just a few examples, or two examples. One in Exodus 32, the example of Moses, and I see him in this context as a typical father. It says from verse 9 to 11, Exodus 32, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I've seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people.'" Now this is again, Israel is, they're rebelling, they don't want to listen to what God is saying, and God is angry at them. And he says, "Listen, Moses, this people, my people, to me, they're a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, Moses, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." So God comes to Moses and says, "Moses, I know you've assumed the role as father. I know you've taken on the responsibility. I know you're the watchman over this people. So Moses, I want to get to the people. Please, don't stand in my way." So Moses says, then Moses pleaded with God and said, "God, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against the people whom you've brought out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand?" And then he continues to speak to God. And then God had to reason with Moses, and at the end there was grace for the people. Remember, we said at the beginning, we are to remind God of His promises so that His glory can come. This was exactly what Moses did. Okay, Moses just went and said, "Lord, I know we have sinned against you. But God, your promise, this is what you did for your people. And this is your promises concerning them." So Moses actually had the authority to stand in the gap for the nation. And God couldn't get around him to the people. He assumed that responsibility. Jacob, just another example. Genesis 32, verses 26. This is where Jacob wrestled with a man. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And this is so typical for me of a young man. Okay, he's contending for the Lord's blessing. He's got a faith goal. He's got places to go. And he's wrestling with God. And he's not going to give up until he receives the blessing of God. Okay? That's out there for all of us. We can wrestle with God. We can contend with him. "Lord, I will not hold my peace. I will not keep silent until I see righteousness goes forth as a bright light." God, people need to, we need to stand up as a people. God, we need to see your blessing. We need to see your vindication. We need to see your favor. God, Gentiles must come to this light. And kings to the brightness of this rising. I can't let you go. Your promises just, I need to stand on them. I'm standing on them, God. I'm standing between you and your righteousness and my family members that's not serving you yet. I'm contending from there, for there, God. Okay? Call the people out. We said this morning, sang about it, that from the mountains to the valleys, our homes need to be light. We need to call out the people. Okay? We need to lead them out. We also sang about the opening of the gates so that the King of Glory can come in. We need to see the cities of the gates open. What needed to happen for Isaiah is the King Cyrus had to open the gates of the cities so that his people could go to their promised land. Okay, we need to call out. Isaiah called out those people. He blessed them. He said to them, God is going to do it for you. And then he also expects of us, like we were saying, to prepare the way. After the gates have been opened, you need to go on that road. You need to, if you don't know what to do, you call in a civil engineer, somebody that's worked on roads before, and you prepare that road. You lift up the places. Wherever there's water, you need to get it drained. Scripture clearly leads us. Prepare the way for the people. Make a way. Call them out. The same blessing and call that there was on John the Baptist is on our lives. Okay, he never prophesied, but Jesus called him the greatest prophet. Why? Because he fulfilled what he was called to do, to prepare the way. God has called us to prepare the way. Okay. Then for us in Ephesians 6 verses 14 and 15. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I look in the spirit, I just need to see in this house all the feet clad. All need to have the sandals, the shoes of preparation of the gospel. There's a whole community in need of salvation. We need to call them out. We need to build up, prepare the roads for them to come to salvation. Okay, when we become that amazing city, when we become that example in our families, where we're the light and people can look at us and find hope, they won't necessarily say it, but it'll be a reality in their lives. They will know that's it. That's what I need. Listen to this amazing promise in Isaiah 60. After God has challenged us and said, listen, arise and shine. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. If we become that city, if we become that haven, listen to this. Isaiah 60 verse 8. It's a question that reads, who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their roosts? I went to look it up. It actually speaks about flocks of birds coming, flying in to their place of rest. It speaks about people that need, well, sinners, people that don't know the Lord, that will come flying. This place, they will recognize that this is a safe place. This house, this place is a safe, this community of believers is a safe place. I can fly from wherever I am and fly to them. Like clouds, like flocks, thousands together, they will come flying. We don't need to go out and labor and sweat and blood and tears. Scripture promises they will come flying in their clouds like doves to their roost, meaning that they are willing to fly in the open. It's not like Cornelius that will come to the popcorn evening where nobody can see him. They will come in broad daylight. They will say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. They will fly in like doves. Why doves? Doves fly low. You see them. They don't fly high up there like eagles where no eye can see them. They will fly no matter what people think. They won't be worried about their image or their what the problem is. They will come flying. They'll come fly. They'll be out there in the open. They won't be scared. They won't worry about the eagles that's going to take them in flight because they know where they're going to is safe. Amen? Now, this is a place like that. Your family will be that. Your business can be that. A safe place where people can fly to, fly into and come rest. So just just to get practical at the end. Take up your identity. I don't know who you are, where you're at in the spirit. Take up your identity. If you're a young man, it's not better to be a father than a young man. If you're a young man now, if you're a child, take up your identity. This is what God has destined for you now. Redeem the time. Take up your identity. Redeem the time. Take up your gift. Desire the gifts. Go and search them out. Ask the home group to pray with you. Okay? Take up your gift. Then take up your responsibility. Wherever God has placed you. It's not by chance that you've got a heart after God. That you want to hear His voice. You've been destined the prophet, the priest, to that situation. Speak God's promises. Remind Him about His promises. Do not grow weary. Do not relent. Scripture says that, do not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, you will reap. Okay? For Zion's sake, I will not keep quiet. For this sake, Lord, You've placed me here. I won't let go. I'm going to wrestle with You until I see righteousness, breakthrough, blessing. You're all watchmen, okay? You've all been knighted by the King of Kings. You're His army. For how long? Until we see breakthrough. Wrestle for God's blessing and prepare the way for the people. Okay, can we just close our eyes where we are this morning? Just want to pray for us and then also just give opportunity for those of you who want to respond to what you've heard this morning, to what God has just impressed on your heart and in your spirit. And if you're here this morning and you're not quite clear, you're still struggling to make peace with your identity, to know who you are in Christ, what He's called you to be, then I want to pray with you this morning. If you are here and you are in the right place and you are doing and you are praying, but the breakthrough just doesn't seem to come, then I want to pray with you and trust the Lord that He will encourage you. Do not relent. Okay? Not to give up. Not to be silent. For us to hear God's instruction. To be the watchman. And to see the plans. To have discernment. We need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We need to have the gift of discernment. If you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received Him as your helper, as the one that will lead you into all truth, then we want to pray with you. If you're here this morning and you haven't done it before, you haven't put up your hand and said, Lord, use me. If you need to be knighted in the Spirit this morning, and I want to pray with you. So we're going to pray together, and after that I'm going to just give you opportunity to respond to that. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you are doing, Lord. Thank you that you are pursuing us, God. Thank you that you are establishing your throne, Lord. Scripture says, Lord, of the increase of your government and of your peace, there will be no end, God. You are doing it, Lord. You are doing it in our lives. You are doing it in this country and all over the world, God. Your kingdom is coming. Lord, and by your grace, you include us, and we bless you for that, Lord. Lord, and this morning we open up our, like we said, Lord, we open up ourselves, Lord, for you to come and redeem, for you to come and perfect, God, for you to come and, Lord, come and challenge us to take up our identities, God, for us to come and challenge, Lord, to be like Moses, God, to remind you of your promises, God, and we bring this community before you, Lord, the community of Franschhoek, Lord. God, and we contend for this community in the Spirit this morning, God. And we pray, God, have mercy on this community, Lord. Have mercy, God. We pray, God, that you will come and save, God. That they will be a witness and a testimony, a declaration in this place that you're a God that saves, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, for this church, Lord, for this congregation, to be the roosts, Lord, to be that safe place, God, where the unsaved, God, those in need of your hand, Lord, your touch, your leading, Lord, will be able to fly to, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I bring the families represented here this morning, God. Thank you, God, that you've called the representatives here this morning to be the watchmen, to be the ones whose responsibility is to remind you of your word and of your promises, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. And this morning, God, the guys had to hold up Moses' arms, God. We come, Lord, to hold up and to come and support, God, those who are growing tired, God, in Jesus' name. Not seeing your salvation. We pray that you come and encourage and build up this morning, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities in this week, Lord, to declare your goodness, Lord, to speak your truth, Lord, to see your righteousness come forth, Lord, as brightness, in Jesus' name.